The AccuWeather forecast says clouds with a little sunshine today, high of about 31 degrees. Two children are dead, one is in critical condition from a house fire Tuesday night in Sheboygan Falls. During a news briefing, Police Chief Steve Riffle says that a 9-year-old girl had come out of the home after an 11-year-old had warned everybody to get out. But then that older child went back into the burning house for a 7- and 10-year-old. The chief said all three children were then found by firefighters in upstairs rooms.
Very preliminary information is that the 11-year-old was able to wake the 9-year-old and give a warning to flee the residence. The 9-year-old did, believing the others were following. The 11-year-old then returned to assist the other two still upstairs, but none were able to flee the home. The child that did get out was able to go to a neighbor and ask for help. The neighbor immediately called 911 while attempting to assist responding officers and firefighters.
The 7-year-old died at St. Nicholas Hospital, the 11-year-old passing away several hours later at Children's Hospital, where a 10-year-old remains in critical condition. State Fire Marshal's office has been called in to help determine what happened. The parents of the children reportedly at a religious gathering. South Shore Fire Department fires back against Mount Pleasant residents who say that service has declined since the closing of the Lake Park Station. At this week's Village Board meeting, Trustee Dave DeGroote said the board and the fire department are under continued assault over response times, a new report delivered to trustees containing, though, an inconvenient truth for some residents. He noted Chief Bob Stedman in the report says that, unfortunately, residents have no fire experience or experience from 50 years ago, and they think they know better than a command staff that has 150 years of experience.
Even more unfortunate is the reality that there are members of the community that have decided to make up their own stories about long response times and lack of fire department service by the South Shore Fire Department. In addition, some citizens have been allowed to speak out at village board meetings and have in fact called the South Shore Fire Department chief a liar and the fact that we are making data up. The reality is there is nothing the South Shore Fire Department can do to stop members of the community that are what they are.
Chief Stedman expected to present that report at the next village board meeting. Racine County Judge John Jude gives a 3-year prison term followed by 6 years of supervised release to 19-year-old Jose Mendoza for his role in the November 2014 armed robbery of Jose's Blue Sombrero restaurant on Highway 20 in Mount Pleasant. Several of the victims offered comments at a sentencing hearing about fearing for their lives. Mendoza, one of the teenagers who held employees at gunpoint, the weapon also fired twice inside, according to reports. 18-year-old Jorge Martinez has a court date on Monday. Starting March the 1st, Racine County will switch to a new vendor for jail commissary services. It's a familiar operation, though. County Board Finance Committee Chairman Q.A. Shakur explaining the new 5-year arrangement with Aramark to replace Keefe Commissary Services means more revenue to the county, as well as perhaps better service.
The new vendor will be removing the vending machines from the day rooms, which cause safety issues for the staff and sometimes get abused by the inmates.
Aramark Correctional Services already with the kitchen contract in the jail, the only bidder without vending machines in the day rooms. And the new Director of Information Technology for Racine County, John Barrett, brings over 20 years of IT management experience from the largest financial data processing firm in the country. Another campaign in the books for United Way of Racine County. $5.1 million projected for 2015, a little bit short of goal, but with leaders telling volunteers at their banquet last night about other milestones. A dozen companies singled out for raising at least $50,000. 200 organizations contributed with employee donations, corporate gifts, or special events. The Chairman's Award going to the Andis Company. The late Mike Batten receiving the new Common Good Award, which will bear his name to future recipients. Racine Unified School Board member Pamela Handro, who's been the executive director of the Safe Haven Youth Shelter for the past 6 years, she's been named now executive director of Bethany Apartments. That's a Racine shelter that provides transitional housing for women and children in domestic abuse situations. The appointment is effective February 1st. Handro has a law degree, a background in private practice, as well as being a one-time assistant district attorney. For the past 20 years, though, she's also done research, consultation, grant writing, and fundraising services for nonprofits. At the state capitol in Madison, a GOP-authored bill would clarify what locally issued IDs might be used for. Racine Kenosha Senator Van Wongard notes that any legal resident can actually get his free state ID card, so why do you need another one?
Creating a separate ID at this level is redundant, confusing, doesn't prove anybody's identity, and does not entitle its holder to additional benefits.
The bill from Wongard and New Berlin Representative Joe Sanfilippo seeks to clarify that locally issued IDs cannot be used to vote. just as Milwaukee City and county officials have developed their own plan for IDs. And Minnesota-based Polaris cutting jobs after falling sales and profits and partly blaming it on the warm winter. The off-road vehicle snowmobile maker says 2015 fourth quarter profits dropped 18%, overall sales down 13%. Company's going to cut 100 jobs, including in Minnesota, Plymouth, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Off-road vehicle sales dropped 20% in the fourth quarter, snowmobile sales down 25%. Company citing unseasonably warm winter-constrained demand for off-road vehicles and snowmobiles and the strengthening dollar and the falling value of oil all playing a role. Talk about proposed revisions to the Kenosha Unified School District Employee Handbook was rather low-key at last night's school board meeting. The board going through the revisions page by page, most of them cleaning up the language or making the book reflect school board policy. One issue, though, concerning some of the members, a $3,000 penalty to break a contract with the district, trying to keep the teachers from leaving during the school year. Board President Tamara Coleman said that without knowing what other districts are doing, she can't really say if the penalty is too high or it's too low.
We could be very low. Other districts could be charging, you know, $4,000 and $5,000 and $6,000. So before I know what those districts are charging to make us look attractive, I need to have that data. And if it comes back that, yes, we are on the lower, then, yes, I can agree with my colleagues. But we need that data in order to make a wise decision.
Scott Farnsworth, the interim executive director of the teachers union, asking the board to look at confusing disciplinary language. Well, despite what the newspaper says about an uptown veterans housing project, which was approved last year, the Racine Plan Commission meets this afternoon, and the only agenda item is a public hearing about the conditional use permit requested by James Kennedy for the Benjamin Beer Company. Kennedy came to the city months ago from Kenosha County about a new location and more space. The target site is 507 6th Street downtown. The public hearing begins at 4:30 this afternoon in council chambers. Council recently supported an ordinance to allow such businesses in the city. Concerns about personal property being wrongly seized by law enforcement, prompting state lawmakers to push for change. Legislation co-sponsored by Big Bend Republican Dave Craig, whose district includes a part of far northwest Racine County. It would prevent forfeiture proceedings from even starting on a property until after somebody is convicted of a crime.
No conviction, no forfeiture. No wrongdoing, no property confiscation.
Law enforcement officials argue, though, the change would mean a big hit to the funds that are used to support local drug task force units, much of the money from the property seized as a result of those investigations. Racine County's Reef Point Marina has a harbor park, and there are plans in the works to name it after Len Zilkowski. He was county executive from 1982 to 87, passed away in 96 at the age of 51. His vision, though, helped to make it a reality. During the county board's executive committee meeting, current county exec Jonathan Delagrave said he never knew Zilkowski, but based on the news accounts of the marina's creation, he did a lot of the heavy lifting. Supervisor Q.A. Shakur calling it an awesome tribute.
And not only did he take this to the next level, but the county executives that followed him. So this is just awesome. And a great thing for the county to do.
Zilkowski defeated four county exec in the election by Dennis Cornwolf, who's also since passed, but who likely would have approved of this honor, according to Supervisor Bob Miller.
Having known Mr. Cornwolf, he was my sixth grade teacher at St. Edward's School. In the finest tradition of public service, those who battle it out and come together afterwards, and I think Dennis would support this effort wholeheartedly.
The Zilkowski family to be invited to attend the ceremony planned for around May 1st, 29th anniversary of Reef Point Marina. The architectural firm behind a $1.5 million public safety test track proposed by Gateway Technical College on former parking lot space leased from the state by UW Parkside, well, there's going to be another informational meeting about it for the folks in the Village of Summers. That part of the process apparently got overlooked somehow, even with the chairman of what is still the town of Summers, Mark Molinaro, with design architects. News of the track coming out earlier this month on a weekend. Some folks in Summers, though, still with questions or concerns. The driver training is connected to Gateway's law enforcement program, but officials say it will not involve high speeds. And in Rock County, some two dozen animals, including horses, dogs, and cats, seized from a town of Beloit property. Some of the horses found emaciated, the living conditions poor and unsafe. 49-year-old Janice Jackson now facing a number of charges of animal neglect, police issuing a search warrant based on a neighbor's concerns. That 23-year-old Milwaukee man accused of planning a mass shooting in that city with a machine gun allegedly purchased in Kenosha during an undercover operation is in the Kenosha County Jail. Sammy Mohammed Hamze is facing federal charges for allegedly buying the weapon and planning to kill at least 30 people at a Masonic temple. He allegedly told undercover agents he wanted to, in his words, defend Islam. The Racine County Executive's Task Force on the Future of the Ridgewood Care Center will be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock in the auditorium of the Isgrove Office Complex. Scope of the committee will be on the agenda as well as the options and possible recommendations. Again, that's 6 o'clock tonight at Isgrove. Madison ranks the 7th best metro area in the country when it comes to technology professionals. That's by the personal finance website WalletHub.com. Milwaukee is 49th out of the 100 areas evaluated. The top area for STEM or science, technology, engineering, and math professionals, Silicon Valley, followed by Austin, Texas. WalletHub's findings suggesting areas with the most growth potential. Meanwhile, there's a new study out by Groupon that says that Providence, Rhode Island is the friendliest city in America. Then it's Milwaukee and New Orleans in third. The rankings based on customer satisfaction with businesses in a given region. Providence is the capital of the nation's smallest and second most densely populated state. Groupon says that it probably behaves a bit like a small town, but word does get around when a place is extra friendly. Commuters on Metro trains, including to and from Kenosha, will soon be paying a little bit more to ride. Starting February 1st, monthly tickets will go up $2.50. A 10-ride ticket, that'll jump $1.75. It'll be an extra quarter for a one-way ticket. AccuWeather forecast this afternoon, generally cloudy, a few peaks at the sun with a high of 31. Tom Karkel, WRJN News.